It's Scream O'Clock.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are rejoined by Dr. Laura Okagaki Brasper, or Dr. Love. She is a virologist and immunologist, and she's here to sort out all the COVID vaccine news.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi!
And Molly Glover.
That's me, Molly Glover. Hello.
Hello. And we are joined once again, as we've been joined a couple of times during this pandemic, by our good friend, Dr. Love, Laura Okagaki.
Okagaki-Brasper.
I have never had a problem pronouncing your name until today, but here we go. Anyway.
It's okay. It happens to me too. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, Laura joins us because she is, you're an epidemiologist, correct?
No, that is not correct.
All right. What are you? Molly said epidemiologist
earlier.
I thought
you were an epidemiologist.
No,
just a virologist.
I've done virology research in a past life. I have a PhD in microbiology, immunology, and cancer biology. I've worked in infectious disease research. I've worked in bioterrorism preparedness, which also is a little bit of what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
Currently I do none of those things.
I'm curious. So what is the distinction between all the things that you just said and an epidemiologist?
So epidemiology is the study of how diseases progress in the public, general public. Mm-hmm. So that involves thinking about human behavior, which is generally something I don't like to do. statistics, another thing I don't really like to do.
Sure.
They have a whole field of study just on like interaction, human-human interactions. It's
okay.
For me, it was more like thinking about transmission, but really on the cellular level, how an infection can set up in the lungs. Like that's the research I did.
Got it.
I didn't think about
it.
The whole person really. I kind of thought about lungs and then brain. But
sure.
Mostly lungs.
Cellular level, immunology meaning like the body's response as opposed to like the person's ability to get the thing because they are panicky animals.
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you for correcting me because I had it wrong.
Or animals that just want to drink a beer with their friends without wearing a mask. Anyway.
Exactly.
The reason we have Laura here is because I'm sure as our listeners may know, there has been a considerable amount of vaccine news that has been coming out over the last several weeks. In fact, by the time this episode airs, there will probably be more. But my guess is that after sorting through all of this information that's out there, some folks might be perhaps more confused than they were before they started reading all that information. So we thought maybe we could bring Laura on to put a little bit of clarity around the vaccine situation, get some idea about what does this mean as far as a way through and out of the pandemic situation we find ourselves in. Right now, there are, I believe, three different viable vaccine options that are likely to become available. When are they going to become available? Who are they going to become available to? I've just thrown out a shit ton of questions. Maybe we should start...
Well, maybe a good first one is, Laura, when do you think that the majority of the American population will have a vaccine? Like, if you were, like, a good, safe estimate, like summer, fall, spring, like, what are you thinking?
So the caveat is the two vaccines that are currently in FDA submission right now, which are the AstraZeneca. The Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, those both require two vaccinations to get full immunity. The first shot gives you covers about 52% of the population, which is really good, actually. You don't normally see it quite that high for one that takes multiple doses. The second one confers protection to about 95% of the population. That's why you need two, because you have a 50-50 shot of not being covered by the first vaccine.
Got it.
So the other startling, sad, and disturbing news is that I literally just saw this on CBS News. 42% of the population says they will not get the vaccine. They are not planning to get the vaccine.
Like, no matter what?
Yeah. So
it's not about like, it's not about like, oh, if I see celebrities take it, then I'll be swayed. Like,
yeah. I mean, hopefully that will change over time, but that's a shockingly high percentage for vaccines. It takes a lot of people in the population to be vaccinated in order to actually properly confer the, as everybody has heard about it, herd immunity, which is the idea of herd immunity is enough people in the population are immune to it that the people who cannot get vaccinated are at lower risk of getting it just because simply they're not in contact with people who can pass it to them. So, so I think that most of the people, I think it's probably going to be late summer. That's my best guess. Mm-hmm. That's barring any major manufacturing complications. There will be manufacturing complications. There
and distribution complications too, right? Like yep, on top
yeah.
of that.
So they both of those are what are called mRNA virus or mRNA vaccines. So those are let's go back to biology real quick,
yay!
Right? So you have DNA, that's your cell's way of encoding your genome. That is translated into transcribed into
sure.
mRNA or into RNA, which is processed into mRNA, which then produces proteins.
Okay.
I can't believe I just slipped up on transcribe versus translate.
I was really embarrassed for you.
It's all right.
I'm really embarrassed for myself.
You already got the PhD. They can't do anything to you anymore.
They can't take it away.
Yeah.
No.
So the mRNA is what your body uses as a template to make, or like a code to make proteins, right?
Okay.
So it's notoriously unstable. It's notoriously unstable to anyone who has done RNA work in the lab, which I have done. If you look at it wrong, it degrades.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Why it has to be kept at, it's minus 70 Celsius, which is like minus 95
yeah.
Fahrenheit or something
it's
ridiculous
really
like
cold.
That. Really cold, which is dry ice, also special freezer. It's very common temperature that we use in biology research. But so anybody who's got cities around with, you know, universities are going to have the ability to freeze to that temperature. But the issue is rural areas where mm-hmm. Where hospitals may not have enough storage in order to keep that vaccine in basically from degrading before you can give it to a patient.
I heard that because of the such an extremely cold temperature, the types of like glass or materials used to store and transport are also fairly specialized, not, you know, super rare or anything, but they have to be specific because things get so brittle when they get cold that mm-hmm. that could also potentially be a limiting factor for distribution.
Yeah, I think the supply chain is going to be things like not having enough bottles, which they've already brought up like very early on
mm-hmm.
in like May. That there might not be enough glass vials to actually fill with the medication. It looks like they're, it may be that they're distributing it in the syringes themselves.
Oh.
So the photos that I've seen of the vaccine, it looks like are preloaded into syringes. So I'm not really sure if they're using multi-draw vials like you see for when you get your flu shot,
mm-hmm.
or if they're like thawing out an individual dose in a syringe and giving it to you that way.
Do you think that are there more complications involved with the latter way, with the individual syringes? I mean, just if you had to guess.
Yeah, there's more stuff that can break when it's cold.
Sure.
Right? The thing is, it can only be at room temperature for a very short period of time. I think it's, you know, two hours
mm-hmm.
maybe, tops, that they can say that it's at room temperature before it's really starts to degrade and loses its efficacy. So so you can't really do a lot of doses per vial unless you've got people lined up out the door and you're thawing things out as people are coming in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is, as far as I've read, basically the fastest anybody's developed a vaccine for something. And being pro-science and being pro-vaccine and not really being too concerned about it, I still wonder what are the risks of producing a vaccine this quickly? And are there any risks people should be concerned about?
They didn't skip any steps, really. So they still went through phase one, two, and three trials, just like, so phase one is like a handful of people. They make sure it doesn't kill you. Mm-hmm. Phase two is like a few hundred people to make sure it doesn't kill you. And then phase three is several thousand people in order to make sure, like to do a really good statistical analysis to make sure it's got efficacy, right? So make sure that the people who get the vaccine are covered. And they had to actually meet a certain number of cases, COVID cases, within both the vaccinated and unvaccinated population to make sure that their statistics were actually real, right? And not just a figment of their imagination. So, so I think that's everybody's big worry, but here's the thing. Like the most vaccine research is often very slow for a number of reasons. One is a lot of the vaccines that we hear about repeatedly are ones that are notoriously difficult to make vaccines for. Mm-hmm. Influenza is difficult because it mutates very rapidly and there's bazillions of strains out there. Same thing with the common cold. Why can't we have a vaccine for the common cold? It's hundreds of different viruses. You cannot have a single vaccine that covers 100 viruses very efficiently without giving like, you know, you don't want like a liter of vaccine injected into your shoulder every time.
Right.
That'd be an excessive amount of liquid. Yeah. And then HIV. And HIV is one where the virus itself targets the cells that you need to kill the virus. So really, like if your virus is killing the cells that you need to kill the virus, then you're going to have some trouble, right?
Yeah.
So no steps were really skipped with any of the vaccine development that they've done so far. And really, the final answer for you, Tim, is if you throw enough money at a problem, it can get fixed really fast.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know, so when they do phase three and they're testing efficacy, after they give those volunteers or those, you know, those patients the vaccine, are they then exposing them to COVID to find out? Or how do they, is that something, I know a lot of that is done on the cellular level, you know, before they actually are doing human trials, but I'm just wondering how that goes for any vaccine. I know you didn't work on this one.
So for COVID, they're using, it's primarily in healthcare workers. So the people who are going to get exposed to it, no matter what. Right. So if you have, you know, thousands of healthcare workers, all of them are working with COVID patients. So some of the ones that I know of are ICU nurses, urgent care doctors, other people who basically come in direct contact with potentially infectious patients all the time. So that's the population that they targeted for this to make sure that, you know, what you're talking about is what's, which is a like a testing, directly testing infectious, like,
that's
just completely ethically, like, not possible
right,
to do.
Right, right. That's what I was wondering,
Not good. So they take the highest risk populations and they vaccinate the highest risk populations.
Interesting. So, that's super cool.
So when they say, like, oh, this vaccine is 95% effective, that's 95% of the people that they tried this on were not affected or were affected and had low symptoms? Or like, what does 95% effective mean for a vaccine?
So it just depends on the study, but usually it means that if you compare head to head, like if 100 people who got the placebo got infected, only 5 people who got vaccinated got infected.
Sure.
And what's nice with the COVID vaccines too is that they're seeing the people who did get COVID who were vaccinated were not getting serious infection. So they weren't ending up in the ICU on ventilators, long-term health effects or any of that. A single patient had the long-term effects that you're seeing with the general population who are getting it.
Okay. I'm curious. I'm just wondering if you, I know I'm throwing questions at you. You may not know off the top of your head. What do we usually see for vaccine compliance when it comes to things like, I mean, I know there's some like that, you know, like there are anti-vaxxers who aren't getting their kids vaccinated or whatever. And I know the flu shot is one of those ones where a lot of people don't get it because they're like, they don't know. They're just guessing. But when it comes to things like MMR, you know, those kinds of like vaccines that most of the people are agreeing that we should get, right? What kind of, are we usually seeing 40% non-compliance? I mean, that seems really high.
Yeah, that I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I'd have to do some Googling for that. But, you know, usually it's been much higher in the past. I think anybody who grew up probably during the smallpox and the polio mm-hmm. outbreaks probably realized that, like, you know, everybody lined up for those.
Yeah.
So that's the huge difference that we're seeing now. Everybody lined up for those because as soon as the vaccine was available, they're like, this is a miracle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But despite the fact that so many people are getting sick, and that's what, over 300,000 Americans are dead, over 3,000 per day are dying, people are not willing to line up for this vaccine.
And it's amazing because it's not even just the deaths. I mean, there's so many long-term consequences from people who survive. You'd think that on top of all of that, it's really astonishing to me that anybody wouldn't want to take this. I did see an article talking about the ramifications. Workplaces are asking, legally, can we demand our employees be vaccinated? Like, can we say it's now a requirement for your job that you have to take this vaccine? I'm just wondering how you feel about that, whether as a scientist or as just a regular person ethically. Like, do you think that employers should be allowed, or schools or whatever, you know, the way that schools are allowed to say that you have to have vaccinations, you can't come to school here. Do you think employers should be allowed to do the same thing?
I think so. I actually just looked this up. So for the state of Minnesota that we're in, Minnesota is an at-will employment state, which means you can get fired for any reason as long as it's not one of the protected classes. And religion is one of those protected classes.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain sects of religion, Christian Scientists, some of the Amish and Mennonite groups, some of the Orthodox Jewish groups that do not vaccinate. Right.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
So
they've actually relied very heavily on herd immunity to some extent to be protected. However, we have seen, lowered vaccine rates in populations like the Somali population in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The anti-vax movement was really common there, right? Mm-hmm. Popular. Mm-hmm. I personally think that if somebody wants to return to, I think if they want to return to the office, I think they should have to get vaccinated because it becomes a risk to other employees, right?
Well, and that's the thing is, if you can't get vaccinated for whatever reasons, religious, obviously on this podcast, we're, you know, a little less, you know, it's like whatever, but that's fine. That's your religion. I'm not going to fight you on it. But like, there are people who are medically unable to get vaccinated for whatever reason that need, you know, everyone else around them to they also rely on that herd immunity. But if there's one thing this pandemic has showed us, it is that people are selfish pricks.
Yes, exactly.
I realize it's not really your area of expertise, but do you suppose that one of the reasons that so few people seem to be willing to get vaccinated has a little bit to do with the speed at which it's being developed, and somehow they view that as being less safe?
Yep, absolutely. So there are a couple of things that have really hindered this, the efforts in both prevention and protection, right? So it's macho not to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So wearing a mask means that you're afraid.
Yep.
I'm afraid. I'm of a high risk population. I don't want to die. Sorry, I'm afraid of dying.
So weird.
Wearing a mask makes your dick small.
Yeah,
I heard that. Wearing a mask makes your dick small.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, fun fact, COVID has been shown to cause erectile dysfunction in men. It has
that
to be
makes me kind of happy, I guess, for some of the men that I've seen talking such a big game about it, like a little bit. If it only affected the people who were shitty about it, you'd be like, hey, you know, but that's unfortunately not the case.
We talk a lot about herd immunity. Is there kind of like a magic number for like, okay, we need at least this many people to be vaccinated or to be immune before we can say like it's safe for everyone now?
It's in the like 70 to 90 range. It's pretty high. 70% is like pretty good. Obviously the higher you get, the better the herd, like the protection to the people who can't get vaccinated.
Yeah. Right?
So there's going to be a lot of problems with I foresee the following events. People are going to get their first vaccine. They're going to have adverse effects, which are guaranteed, some of which are pretty nasty in this particular vaccine. they're going to say, fuck that, I'm not getting another one. So they're going to pretend like they're going to act like they're protected when we know it's 50% of the time they are not. Hi, kitty, kitty. two is that, you know, people are going to get their second vaccine. They're not going to be fully protected, and they're going to go out and do whatever when it takes up to 2 weeks or longer to build up the antibodies needed to confer protection the way you need it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, I just see lots of just like, oh, there's a vaccine out now, we can be careless, which is not, we cannot be careless right off the bat. We have to wait a while before we can be careless again.
And the whole, like, I keep seeing people, memes and stuff that are like, I'm scheduling my shot and then I'm scheduling my flight like that same day. Like, I'm going to be getting my shot at the doctor and then I'm going to be on a plane to Mexico. And it's like, you can't, what? Like,
it does not work that way.
Yeah. And I it's hard because, like, I think people need a shred of hope right now, especially right now. It is a dark winter and it is going to be hard to get through. And having any hope is great. But unfortunately, so it kind of sucks to be like, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer yet again, like I have been for the last 9 months. But seriously, you guys, like, we're not going to be getting back together for like live performances until probably the fall. We're probably not going to be having like getting everyone together for big weddings and events. We honestly might not be able to get together in these, like, you know, 2000 and up, you know, attendees events for another year. To be honest, like, it just may not happen. And I think that reality is something people just cannot deal with right now. And and it's, and that's hard because it's like, I have most of our friends, I would say 95% of our friends are realists, liberals, science believers, you know, but at the same time, they can't hear it right now. They have to pretend that everything's going to be normal by spring.
Well, it's one thing to be patient, and it's another thing to be patient for this long. And even people who have been patient this long are reaching a point of, sweet, there's a solution.
Just today, Waltz was saying, like, oh, there's 183,000 doses, like, you know, that are set for Minnesota, and we should have those by the end of the year, and they'll go to healthcare workers, and everyone's like, this is it, everyone, we're good. And it's like, did you hear how low that number was? Like, one, and also, like, I know what you do for a job, bitch, it ain't gonna be you. like, I'm last in line, I know this. Like, I have absolutely no reason to get a vaccine before almost anybody else in the world.
Ah, finally, a benefit to being fat.
But for real, it's like, it's, you know, and so it is, I think that I appreciate that the media is like pushing this as like, look, everyone, there's hope, carrot on the end of the, you know, of the stick here to keep you going. But you're right. We really have to double down on carefulness right now.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's really hard. I have several single living alone friends. One of them lost her husband in the last like year and a half. Mm-hmm. So shortly, you know, I think the fall, kind of before everything started, and how hard is that? Like, you're already adjusting to an empty house because you lost the love of your life.
Yeah.
Then you have to adjust to never hugging anybody for like 9 months. And it's like, I feel like I get it.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And I've seen people outside with masks on. We've sat outside on nice windy days and we've been fine. Right. Unfortunately, it's winter. There's nowhere to go outside. And I'm sorry, but just because you put up a tent outside does not make that outdoor dining. That is not outdoor dining. That defeats the purpose of the whole outdoor part, to put a big plastic tent around you.
Also, like, it's winter, so your breath, it has even more droplets than it ever did before. So that's to be honest, like, you are breathing out more droplets than you did. It sure seems that.
I think it's just that they're visible.
I think you can see them.
They're just visible. Well, you should be more aware of how bad your droplet situation is.
Is that your breath? I didn't even know that. Okay, so one more question that I have, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but I feel like in interest of fairness, there's this whole section of our population that's talking about something called Project warp speed, which was something that was created by the Trump administration to theoretically speed the development of this vaccine.
Yeah.
So the question is, did that help? Do you know?
I have no idea because I don't know. I know Moderna was working on an mRNA vaccine before. So they just switched out the mRNA from whatever they were working on, which I'm guessing was probably something like an influenza vaccine that's an eggless, because right now our influenza vaccine primarily uses eggs. For anybody who's allergic to eggs, you can't get it. It also has pretty crappy efficacy. So I think they were working on the bigger, better, universal influenza vaccine. And then this came along and they could just swap out the mRNA that was in it and move forward.
From what I was going to say, Pfizer was working with them, but I don't think Moderna was at all.
So. Well, from what I mean, there are three that are out right now, and two of them are not American companies. Mm-hmm. So my understanding is they didn't have anything to do with that. Did that, I mean, was part of Warp Speed like getting the supplies ready to go so that they could roll out?
I don't know what they actually did. I mean, you'd think after 9 months they would have a vaccine distribution plan at the federal level and have been working with the states to, you know, help their plans. But at this stage, every state is left to their own devices. So again, Minnesota has a really good Department of Health. I will always say that they're great. We're very lucky. We have very smart people there. I trust their vaccine. Yeah. I trust their vaccine distribution strategy. Our neighbors to the west and potentially east, maybe not so much. Our neighbors to the south, I definitely directly to the south. Sorry for anybody in Iowa, but I cannot trust that the way that they have their vaccinations like lines and priorities set up is going to be as efficient.
I wonder if we're going to see people crossing state lines to get vaccines. Like, I wonder if it's going to be like, I'm willing to pay out of pocket. If I can just get it, I'm going to go to Minnesota, you know, if Minnesota's going to have to find a way to lock it down to residents only because they need to, because there's no federal distro plan and because there isn't any federal money or guidance, that every state's going to have to be like, I'm sorry, we have to protect our own residents, you know. Yeah. It could get really lawless. I didn't even think about that.
Go
ahead, Nick.
Before you had said that both the vaccines are like a two-part vaccine, do we know at all yet if this will be anything where we'll need boosters or like reinfection rates or like how long this is good for in a person or anything like that?
No, they are suggesting that there's a good potential for lifelong immunity.
Oh, wow.
But there's a couple things. I mean, one is we have no data. We have 3 months worth of data. We'll know in 10 years if we need boosters, right?
Yeah.
The other is that we already know that it mutated once, right? The strain that came out of Wuhan is different than the strain that came out of Italy. And actually, and the vast majority of the infections in the United States are actually from the strain that came out of Italy, the mutation that came from Italy.
The Italian virus.
So I know, I'm really screwed because I'm like half Asian and half Italian.
Yeah, so right. What did you do, Laura? Do we think it could mutate again?
Oh, absolutely. They always can.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's always a risk, especially with RNA viruses. Anything with an RNA genome is at higher risk. There's a higher mutation rate in those particular viruses because our cells are built for maintaining our DNA in the best shape that is possible. So eliminating mutations, right? So anytime there's an error in our DNA, we have ways to correct it. Mm-hmm. So if a DNA virus infects our cells, it's kind of like, you know, it does a really good job of copying and pasting that into more viruses. Our cells are designed to do that. We're not designed to do that with RNA as well. There's a lot more error rate in RNA.
Mm-hmm.
So anything with an RNA genome tends to be at higher, like have a higher mutation rate.
People, I hear a lot of people talking about how, I had COVID, so I'm immune now. And I always laugh and I'm like, do we know that? Because I haven't heard that for sure. Do you think so? If we have people who are listening right now who've had COVID, should they still be taking precautions, or can they be like, whatever, I can, we've all had chicken pox, so we can all hang out? I mean, is it like that, or should they still be staying home and staying just in case?
Yeah, no, I will quote the god of infectious disease, Dr. Anthony Fauci, in this, that we have no idea what the immunity looks like, even short-term and long-term. We have not done enough studies on that. They are recommending still take precautions and get vaccinated.
Yeah, good.
So do you know if people will be contagious after being vaccinated? I know, like, you can be a carrier of a virus that you're not necessarily being made sick from in some circumstances. Do you know anything about that in particular?
So, from the vaccine itself, no. So there are some live attenuated, it's called live attenuated vaccines. That's a live virus that's been passed through other types of animal cells so that it is no longer highly infectious to us or causes disease in us. But it confers protection if we're exposed to it, right? So we get exposed to it, we build up our immunity to it, and then we're good. Since it's just the protein, right? You start producing the protein in your cells, which basically allows your immune system to learn those proteins are bad, right? So, however, you can still be exposed. If you don't have a high enough antibody titer, you might be able to produce enough virus to pass it on. Like, it's just unclear right now if that's if that's possible with this one. I wouldn't, it is possible, which is why we still have to be careful. Even when some people start to get vaccinated, it's super important for those vaccinated people to still take precautions, wear masks, socially distance, stay home.
Okay.
I just have one more question.
He's been very excited all day.
One of the reasons, I think we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, one of the reasons they were able to shift gears and get going on this faster, at least one of the companies, was that they've already had an mRNA vaccine in the works. That sounds like from what you're saying too, like a newer style of vaccine. And you mentioned universal influenza vaccine potentially. Are mRNA vaccines, is that like what the wave of the future for vaccination? Is that what we can expect to see, or?
They're easy to produce. So if the virus is particularly, if it works well for that particular virus, probably not so much with bacteria, because bacteria and fungi and parasites all have kind of stimulate your immune system a little differently, just simply based on size. And then also like the coating that they have. Mm-hmm. So if you can think of a bacteria of I always think of them as bacilli, like they look like a capsule, but that's not what they all look like, just so you know. But that's just the one I picture. And then they have different like coatings on the outside. Our body has two different types of immune system, well, multiple, but there's an innate immune system, which is kind of has evolved over many years to just recognize certain things on site, just because like, oh, we always see that as something that's bad. So it attacks that, right? So viruses are a little sneakier because some are naked. Some of them have just viral proteins all over it, right? Some of them have actual like double membrane from your cell. So they're called enveloped viruses. And so those can be a little bit trickier. So it just entirely depends on the type of virus.
Hmm. Neat.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, Laura, thank you for all that information. If anybody listening to this podcast has questions, feel free to drop them in the comments and we will encourage Laura to answer them because we don't know. We don't know.
Well,
I don't know, I'll make something up.
Yeah, I don't guarantee.
That's Laura, what we do.
But we are moving on to five questions. We have five questions from a listener. Molly, let us know about the listener who's providing us with five questions.
We have five questions from Patreon supporter Dan Scarup. Yeah, so Dan's written in with their five questions, and they are pretty great. Are you ready?
Do they have anything to do with vaccines?
They don't.
Wow.
Oh, wait. Okay. It depends. Yeah. It depends on how much of a conspiracy theorist you are.
Oh. Okay.
If you think hard enough, everything has something to do with vaccines.
All right.
Question one. What is your favorite fast food establishment? Mine's McDonald's. I'm just going to go straight up. It's McDonald's. It's garbage. I love it. I love McDonald's. I like so many things on the menu.
Does Noodles and Company count?
That's called cafeteria style. That's not fast food. I would say for me, I'm going to say it needs to be, it needs to be like a drive-through.
It has to have a drive-through window.
Yep. That's what I'm going to call it, fast food.
Then I'm going to say Arby's.
Arby's,
because I really like their potato cakes.
And they have the meats.
Yeah, and they do have the meats, I've been told.
So. I can only ever think of like the sandwich turned on its side meme. So anyways, for me, it's Bojangles, which we don't have up in Minnesota.
No.
This is a North Carolina specialty, and it is damn delicious. It is the best fried chicken on the planet.
Is it
a fried chicken place?
It is fried chicken and biscuits. And at one time of year, they make cheddar biscuits, which you think would be biscuits with a little cheap piece of cheddar in it, right? But they take a biscuit and they put cheese on it, and then they put it on the griddle and then cover it so the cheese melts out, and then makes this like flat skirt of cheese around it, and put the top on, and then send it out to you. It's amazing.
Meat.
Well, pure fat.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
My favorite fast food item doesn't come from this place, but my favorite fast food restaurant is Taco Bell.
Okay.
As someone who was raised vegetarian, that was the dopest option ever, and is still pretty great.
All right,
they have six ingredients and a million combinations.
Okay, so question two, think of your answer to number one. Question two, what is your go-to order at that establishment? So what's your go-to order at the place you just picked?
A regular roast beef with cheddar sauce, because I don't like the beef and cheddar because it's an onion bun and onion buns are nasty.
Yes,
so regular roast beef with cheddar sauce, three potato cakes, and a side of au jus to dip the potato cakes into.
Hell yes. That's great.
Yes.
Laura, what do you get at Bojangles?
That would be chicken tenders and mac and cheese.
Mm.
Ooh, very good.
Absolutely the best.
My favorite thing to get, my favorite order at McDonald's is a Big Mac and a Filet-O-Fish. And a small fry. That's my jam.
It's going to be one of two things. So first of all, it would have been spicy Doritos Locos Tacos, because that is everything that I love right there. But it's either going to be a party pack, just a big fucking box of hard shell tacos.
A 12 pack?
Just like eat hard shell tacos until you're full of shame. Or a couple of five-layer burritos, because those are great.
The beefy five-layer.
You don't go for the Cholito? The Cholito, I think, is a reasonable thing.
I don't know if they make them anymore, but those were great.
I don't know what that is.
Only Taco Bell's in Minnesota make Cholitos.
Yeah, it's like a cheese roll-up, but it's got a chili sauce inside as well.
It's like a
chili and cheese rolled up.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Like a beefy chili and cheese, yeah. Okay, question three. Which fast food establishment would you be okay with never visiting again?
Chick-fil-A.
Well, I mean, have you been to a Chick-fil-A?
Once.
It's damn delicious.
That's fine. If you've been to one, you can say never going again. But the question is never going again. So you have to have been there at least once.
Because it is delicious.
All right,
I'd still say Chick-fil-A, but if we're going to, just to be fair, Wendy's is some fucking awful burgers.
I miss Wendy's.
It's Wendy's for me too, and it's not just because of their food, but Dave Thomas is dead, and his daughter Wendy is a fucking bitch. just saying that as someone who used to do frontline IT support for their point of sales systems, and one time was walking them through a technical issue when she happened to be touring a franchise and got on the phone and got on with me. Wendy is a bad person, and I hope her restaurant's closed. Dave Thomas was a saint.
I never want to go to Burger King again. I hate Burger King.
You're so wrong.
It smells bad, and their fries are trash.
You're right about
their fries are trash. You can't do the order the onion rings, because those just cause issues with everybody I've ever met.
They're bad.
Yeah.
All right, question four. What fast food establishment have you always wanted to try but never gotten a chance to?
See, that never gotten a chance to part is the hang up on this, because if there was an ethical way to eat Chick-fil-A.
I think that's never gotten a chance to.
I would like to, but I refuse to ever.
You need them to be good for you to go there, so you've never had a chance.
Okay, that's fair. So that's fair.
I'm sorry, my dog just decided to play with a fish, if that's what you mean.
No, that's great. We have that same fish toy.
For the cat.
Chick-fil-A. Okay, Chick-fil-A. I'm going to say In-N-Out Burger. Oh. I've heard a lot of good things, and I've always wanted to try it, and I obviously can't.
That's solid.
They're very far away from us.
Yeah, they're not in Minnesota. They are good, though. You know, most of the places that I wanted to try, I have, but I'm just going to say specifically, my understanding is that the chicken sandwich at Popeyes is really fucking awesome, and I have not had it yet.
It's really good.
Dude, it's so
good. I've been to Popeyes. I've been to Popeyes.
But you haven't had the sandwich.
But I haven't had the sandwich, so.
Let me say, as someone who prefers spicy things and loves spicy food, and spicy is my favorite flavor, the spicy version of their chicken sandwich is not superior to the non-spicy version. Don't waste your time. Just go with the original. It's great.
Yep.
Okay.
Laura, what about you? What have you always wanted to try?
I was also going to say, but I think I'm going to have to change my mind. I've not been to a cookout where I hear you can get, you order whatever meal you want, and then you can pick your side. So if you order a cheeseburger, you can also order a cheeseburger as the side.
Oh, it's called Cookout?
Cookout.
Oh, that's interesting.
I never made it to one when I lived in North Carolina.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Here it was delicious.
All right.
Like a burger with a side of burger.
All right, question 5 takes a weird turn. What are you looking forward to in 2021? What are you looking forward
to? January 20th, 21st, thereabouts.
I'm looking forward to the possibility of being able to go anywhere. I was, because I have my sabbatical. I earn at Fantasy Flight Games. Once you've worked there for 10 years, you get a 30-day sabbatical, and I get mine after February. So I am looking forward to taking that sabbatical.
Nice.
Anyone else? Yeah.
I'm looking. Oh, go ahead, Laura. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm looking forward to no longer being 2020, and maybe my dog chilling on the 2 fish toys. He just decided, I've been laying here all day.
Yeah.
I have not one but 2 fish toys, and if I pick one up and drop it and then go pick up the other one and drop it, they both make noise.
He's like, you look bored. I think I'm going to play with my fish for you.
Yeah.
It's all right, Tim. It's so basic. I'm just looking forward to doing a show on a stage in front of people.
Yeah.
And if it's not until October, whatever.
I have good confidence it'll happen next year. Yeah.
I believe it will happen next year. I don't know when. I don't care if it's not until October or November. It's like, I believe it's going to happen next year, and I'm looking forward to it when it does.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Fantastic. Dan says, happy holidays to you and all of your listeners. And as we say in Germany, have a good slide into the new year.
Yeah.
Thank you, Germany.
Slide right in there.
Thank you, Dan. I want to remind everybody, we only, I believe, have three sets of 5 questions in queue right now. So we could certainly use some more of those. Just send an email to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. If you are a Patreon supporter, we will bump you right up to the top of the queue, unless there are Patreon supporters there already, in which case you'll be right behind.
But you gotta tell me you're a Patreon supporter, because I don't check the list every day.
Yeah, just like mention it in the email header that you're sending, that you're a Patreon supporter. We'll get that bumped up, and you can ask us any 5 questions, as shown by the 5 questions we were asked just now. Laura, Dr. Love, is there anything that any place people should look for you to find more information, or is it just
I've got an outdated blog that I don't update. Okay. I'm on Twitter that I never post anything on, but feel free to that should be pretty easy to find. I think I have to remember Dr. LOV underscore PhD on Twitter. Try to tweet at me. I might or might not see it.
What's your favorite site for people to check for information?
Like a medical blog or something.
Anything with CDC, the University of Minnesota SIDRAP Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy is a great one.
Okay.
Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, any of the major universities, University of Minnesota, Harvard, Yale, whatever.
So, you know, doctors.
Probably, yeah. Find doctors and scientists. Not right, like
doctors and scientists.
Yeah, don't like, if it's a mommy blog that also mentions, you know, essential oils, I would skip it.
So. Do not get your health information from Goop.
You heard it right here. You need to put thieves oil on it.
Yeah. Steaming your vagina will not cure COVID.
Yeah, I can. That's true.
I'm glad to hear it. All right. So we'll probably have Dr. Love back on in a few months and check in on the latest developments. At least I do hope so. Thanks for listening. You can always leave us a review on whatever the hell review places there are to review. I don't know. I don't even. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm so alone. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
I hate to be the one to bring this up, but there will one day be COVID vaccination porn.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
And so all I can say is that K-pop music turned our cat into a sex fiend.
Yeah.